Welcome to the NPFCC Messages Podcast. Today, you're listening to a message from our Jesus Is message series, where we're taking a look at the many facets of Jesus through the book of Hebrews. You know, with so many definitions of Jesus floating around our culture today, we wanted to give you a close look at how the Bible defines him and see how that definition can actually change your life. So no matter what your background or your doubts, you're welcome to explore who Jesus really is with our community. So be blessed as you listen to this word.
And I got to tell you this morning, as I'm standing here in front of you, I am probably preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to anybody else in the room. Because we're a people who need rest. Do you feel it? How many of you know that you need some rest? Anybody? Yeah. We are a people who don't rest very well. And I am like the number one culprit. It's kind of like closets in a house. If you have a closet, you will do what to it? You'll fill it. If I have time in my calendar, I will fill it, right? I'm just constantly moving, going. I mean, even this weekend, lots of stuff happening. You know, I mean, I ran up to Man Camp, led some seminars while I was there, doing a bunch of stuff. And then late last night, jump in the car, drive home, get here, doing all these things. And sometimes I'm just like, you know, running with my tail on fire, right? It's just like, I know my wife keeps reminding me that, you know, like, yes, you have energy. Yes, you can do those things, but you have to stop and you have to rest. And I know that there's many of you who have burnt the candle at both ends, and now it's getting towards the middle, and you're wondering, now what? But we're a people that need rest. I was doing some research on this and discovered in America today, only 26% of Americans get the typical, what doctors say is healthy for you, 8 hours of sleep. 53% of us get less than 7 hours, somewhere between 6 and 7 hours. 20% of us get 5 hours or less a night of sleep. According to the American Heart Association, lack of sleep is linked to high blood pressure, heart attack, cancer, accidental injuries, and cirrhosis of the liver. All these things are caused by lack of sleep. Because when we don't get enough sleep, when we don't get enough rest, our bodies can't repair themselves. In fact, in this article by the American Heart Association, talking about the importance of sleep for healing, that it states this. It says, it's during sleep that the body performs tissue growth and repair, allowing healing and restoration to occur. It's also the time, listen to this, this is huge. It's also the time when the brain clears away stuff it doesn't need, making room for the stuff it does need. The space between neurons gets a little wider, allowing the brain to flush out waste products. And I was just thinking, man, if we don't rest, then all we're doing is storing up waste in our heads. Has anybody else in the room ever had those days where you just go like, yeah, I'm just in a fog. My head's a little cloudy. I'm not sure I'm thinking straight today. Anybody else have that now and again? Okay. It's partially it's because we don't rest well. But you have a Heavenly Father that designed you, that created you for rest. Kind of fun, as I was reading this this last week, I found out that in Kenya, they speak the language Swahili, and when Westerners come, they call the Westerners Mzungu, right? So if you and I walk over there, they would call us Mzungu. And what Mzungu means is one who runs in circles. That's what they think of us. And don't laugh, because they're right. Right? I mean, we run in circles. I also read about the story about a missionary who was visiting there, and they were heading out into the bush. They were trying to get to these small remote villages. They hired a guide and a crew of people to help, because you couldn't just drive there. You had to, like, walk way back into these remote villages. And the first day, the missionaries were really excited because they took a really quick pace. They got a lot. They got way back, you know, several miles that were covered. But on the second day, as they woke up, they were surprised to find out that the guides and all the guys who were carrying stuff, they refused to move. So one of the missionaries went over to the head guide and he said, "Hey, what's going on? We got to get going. Like we got places to be and things to do and people to save and all this stuff." And the head guide said this. He said, "Well, yesterday we traveled too far, too fast, and we need to wait for our souls to catch up to our bodies." And I was like, that's brilliant. Because how many of you feel like your soul just needs to catch up? That your soul just needs rest. And you need to allow time for God to do what only God could do and help us catch up and balance. Well, the truth is that God knew we needed rest. And he knew that we would struggle with this idea of slowing down and pausing and resting. So he worked it into the natural order of things. If you go long enough without resting, you'll just break down. And when you break down, what happens? It forces you to rest. But we hope that before you get to that point, that you will listen to God and that you will take the rest, because it's not just a physical rest that we need. It's a deep rest of the soul. And I'm pretty sure this morning, because I know I feel it, that I'm pretty sure that most of us in this room, because of the culture that we live in and the pace we try to keep, that I would say the majority of us, we know that our souls need some rest. But many of us just don't know how to get there. And so God never intended for us to live hurried, tired, crazy, out of control lives. His desire for each of us was that we would experience rejuvenating rest. The Bible calls it his rest, as we'll see in Hebrews chapter 4. So he shares with us in Hebrews chapter 4, we're in week 4 of our series, going through the book of Hebrews. We've called it Jesus Is, because every chapter is jam-packed with like who Jesus is. And, you know, there's a lot of things you could follow in this world, but they will all lead you to places that you don't want to go. Jesus is the one that we follow, amen? And so I love this. I'm loving it. Hebrews is a hard book, but I'm loving diving in, because every week I'm learning more and more about Jesus and who he is, because he's the one that can follow, or we should follow, and he's the one that we should, that will give us rest. So today we're in chapter 4. We're going to actually do the first part of chapter 4. Like we've been doing, I'm going to just ask that you would stand as we read the scripture together. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We'll dive in and kind of make sense of it. There's some stuff in here that, you know, is a little bit, might be a little bit confusing to you, but don't fear. We'll walk through it together. So starting in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, we who have believed entered that rest, just as God has said, 'So I declare with an oath in my anger, they shall not, never enter my rest.' And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, 'On the seventh day, God rested from all his works.' And again, in the passage above, he says, 'They shall never enter my rest.' Therefore, since it is still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. And this he did when a long time later he spoke through David in the passage already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. So let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that you not only know what's best for us, you want what's best for us, and you have created a world where things go well when we trust you and we receive your best in that. Father, forgive us our sins, Father, and the sin of our busyness. Father, forgive the one who's preaching this morning because you know that my sins, especially in this area, are many. And Father, we come to you seeking your desire for us to live lives that are free from chaos and free from busyness and free to enjoy you and your rest. We love you, Lord, and praise you in the powerful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. All right. Well, dive in. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there. Did you hear it? Did you hear the idea of rest in the scripture? 10 times in the passage, we see the word rest. And the good news is that it starts out with the words in chapter 1. And this is how we know that we are created for rest. In Hebrews 4:1, it says this: therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found fallen short of it. So there's a promise in here. The promise is that we can enter God's rest. And this promise of God's rest is amazing. The word here for rest really literally means to cease or to pause. It's the biblical concept of Sabbath. And maybe you've heard that before. And Sabbath is not just a Jewish thing, right? Sabbath is something that God created for his people. And so let's take a quick look at what the Bible teaches about this idea of rest and this idea of Sabbath. The first place that this idea shows up is in the story of creation. God creates everything. You remember, he speaks everything into being. And then he forms man, he creates everything, and he gets everything going. And then it says this in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested or Sabbathed from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested or Sabbathed from all the work of creating that he had done. The word for rested here, the word Sabbath, for the Jews, it's Shabbat, right? This idea of Sabbath. The word literally translated means to stop, to cease, to desist, to quit, to pause, to complete. In other words, be done. So God finished the work, right? He finished his creating, and he stopped. Now, this does not mean that God got tired. We don't have a God that gets tired. In fact, the Psalms are littered with phrases that say, hey, our God does not sleep, he does not slumber, he doesn't get tired, he's always doing what God does, right? We find in other places, well, what does God do? He's sustaining everything by his mighty power. And so it wasn't that God needed, like, oh, you know, hey, that creating thing was so hard, I got to take a nap, right? That's not what happened here. It's literally a sense of that God created everything, and then he just kind of like steps back and enjoys it. That he stops the work of the creating, and now he gets to enjoy his creation. That's the whole idea of Sabbath. It's that you stop doing the work of it and you enjoy it. And I think this is the part that we miss, because we don't think of Sabbath, especially some of us who've been around church a while, with this idea of just enjoyment, right? We've been taught it is a commandment, and we'll get to that in a minute. And so this first time that Sabbath is introduced to people, however, is in Exodus chapter 16. You see, God wanted us to experience it the way he did, but people weren't good at this, okay? And he doesn't want us to get stuck in this endless cycle of work, so he demonstrated to us that we need to rest. So again, the first time that we get this idea of Sabbath is introduced for something people should do is in Exodus chapter 16. It's before the Ten Commandments. We'll get there in a minute. But what happened was, is God had taken the children of Israel, if you remember the story, he sent Moses to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, let my people go, right? Because they had been slaves in Egypt for 430 years, and so they were involved in slave labor, and God says, okay, I've seen my people enslaved, it's time, I want to free them. And so he frees them, right? And he takes them out with a mighty hand. You remember the last plague was the death of the firstborn, and they put the blood of the lamb on the crossposts of their door. And when the angel saw that he passed over, and that's where we get the idea of Passover. And then at that point, Pharaoh's all, you guys get out of here. They go out of Egypt. They go through the Red Sea, which is always amazing, and they see God's power. And then they get out into the wilderness, and there's over a million of them. Think about a million of them just like, you know, marching through the Red Sea. They're out in the wilderness. But pretty soon, okay, they're out in a very desolate area and out in the wilderness, and they run out of food. And they start whining and complaining. Right? Picture your three-year-old when they're hungry. Okay? So they're whining and complaining. We have no food. Why'd you bring us out here? We're just going to die in the desert. Right? And so God hears their cry, and he provides for them. And he sends down this crazy stuff called manna. And I love the fact that the word manna literally means, what is it? Yeah, so they woke up, got out of their tent that morning, and they looked outside, and they're like, what is it? And Moses went, yeah, that is what it is. It's, what is it, right? It's manna. And what it says is it was these little white crackers that they tasted like some coriander seed and honey. So they were like a little sweet cracker. I'm thinking like Ritz cracker with a little honey rubbed on top or something. I don't know. But it's like really good stuff, and God says, hey, I'm going to. And so God says to him, he says, hey, you don't have to worry. I got you. He says, here's what's going to happen every morning. When you get out of your tent, it's going to come down and it's going to cover the ground. And you go out and you get what you need. The first time it happens, he says, hey, look, he gives him some instructions. He says, now here's the deal. Don't go out and take more than you need. He's like, just get what you're going to need for that day. Don't try to get more than you need, right? But the people don't listen, right? They do. They're like kids when the pinata breaks open, right? They're just like, like we're never going to get more of this, right? And they're just like, we got to take it all in. And so they're just grabbing everything they can get, right? And then what it tells us is that in the morning, some of it had maggots in it, right? Yeah. And so what's crazy is then God says, well, I told you this was going to happen, and every day I'm going to do this, right? So start thinking, like, what's God teaching the people? And so what he says then is this, and this is where it introduces the idea of Sabbath. He says, now look, here's what's going to happen. Every day it's going to come down, he says, except for the seventh day. So on the sixth day, I'm going to make a little more come down, and on the sixth day, you take double what you would normally take. You put some away, and you can have that tomorrow, because tomorrow is a Sabbath, right? In fact, here, listen to what it says in Exodus 16, verses 21 to 30. He says this, each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. It just like disappeared out there, right? And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses, and he said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord, right? Did you catch that? Who's this? It's a holy Sabbath to who? Right? Yeah, it's not about you, it's about the Lord. He says, so bake what you want and boil what you want to boil. I'm thinking like, okay, manna soup or stew or whatever they're making out there. He says, save whatever is left and keep it until morning. And they're like, yeah, but last time we did that, there was maggots and that was nasty. And he's all, yeah, but I'm God. Right? I mean, think about, let your brain get around this for a minute on what an absolute miraculous thing this was. You could not deny that it was God doing this. Like, right? I mean, on Friday, more shows up. Every other day you keep more maggots. You know, you collect more on Friday, and on Saturday morning, it's perfectly fine. And this goes on for years. I mean, you cannot deny God's provision. But the people were crazy, as people are. So it says, so they saved it until morning. Moses commanded them as Moses commanded, it did not stink or get maggots. And he says, eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath, and there will not be any. Now, I love this, right? The next word is nevertheless. Right? This is, to me, it's just like, because we're stupid. Nevertheless, some of the people went out the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Right? And they're like, what? And you have to just go like Moses is just going like, okay, how many times have we got to tell you? Right? Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? He's like, how stinking hard is this? He's like, I am doing this for your blessing and your benefit. How hard is it to understand? Day six, get a little more. You're going to be okay. Because every other day you've seen God provide it. Because every other day you go to the door of your tent, you open it up, and you're like, what is it? Yes, it's manna. It's there again. Except on the Sabbath day where God told you he wasn't going to put it out there, right? And but just they can't, and that's this whole dilemma. It says, bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out, so the people rested on the seventh day. Right from its inception, people struggle with this idea of keeping Sabbath, right? And we do too. It's why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, for we also have received the good news proclaimed to us. What's the good news? He's going back and he's going, the good news is God's going to take care of you. The good news is, hey, guess what, folks? Whatever that thing that's making you crazy and making you overwork and over everything else and making your schedule unbearable and all this stuff, God's got it. And that's good news. The only bad news is we don't get it, and we don't trust him. And he says, the good news was proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? Because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. In other words, when we don't obey, when we don't listen to God, you don't get the blessings and the benefits that come with obeying God. Make sense? Yeah. So when you say, nah, you know, God, I got this, right? And God's going, hey, look, I've put this out there for you, right? And you, instead of like doing what he says, you're like, oh, I'll go take care of that tomorrow, right? Nope, because there won't be any. Or, hey, when God says, only take enough for a day, and you go, no, I need more. I need more than that, right? There's more out there, so why don't I just take more, right? Kind of fits our culture. But when you don't do it God's way, right, when you try to take too much, when you're not supposed to, life stinks, literally, with maggots for them. When you don't listen and do what God tells you to do and take the extra on the day you should, then you are without God's blessing, okay? So we continue to struggle with this. And so what's a lesson that God's trying to teach them and trying to teach us here? Sabbath is about resting in God's faithfulness. It's about resting in trusting his deliverance and his provision and learning to depend fully on God for what we need. It's learning that God will come through. That's what Sabbath is about. So God makes this idea of Sabbath one of the Ten Commandments, right? In Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, right? This is so important to God, he puts it in the top 10. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter or your male servant or your animals or your foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested or Sabbath on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Holy means set apart. It's like it's different than all the other days. He says, I'm here and I've set this apart as a blessing to you. What's interesting is in the list of the Ten Commandments, this Sabbath rule, the Sabbath commandment, it's the longest of all the commandments. A lot of them are really easy. Do not steal. Just a couple words. This one, God, like, he elaborates, right? He has to, like, and I think it's because, like, do not steal kind of makes sense to us, right? But Sabbath, we still struggle with it. I mean, if we're really honest. I mean, remember, these are the Ten Commandments. They're not the Ten Suggestions. They're not the Ten Good Ideas. They're the Ten Commandments. But I think, here's what I think, and I think we struggle with this because I think a lot of us treat this one, we treat this one differently than the other commands. We treat this one almost like it's optional. I mean, think about it. If someone comes up to you and says, you know, I really wanna follow Jesus, but you know, I just have this propensity for stealing stuff. I just keep stealing stuff. You're not gonna go, well, you're kind of created that way. God will understand. No. You're gonna be like, well, sorry, you can't like follow God and keep stealing stuff, right? I mean, or I wanna be more like Jesus, but you know, I keep committing adultery, you know? I want to follow Jesus, but I have this porn addiction that, you know, I don't really want to give up. But you wouldn't say, well, you know, God gave you those drives and, you know, you should just follow, you know? You'd be like, no, that's inconsistent. You can't do that and have a life that's following Jesus. I mean, we wouldn't have somebody who comes up to us and says, you know, I'd really like to help out at church. I want to serve. You know, maybe I'll help out in children's Sunday school, you know, children's ministry. But sometimes I murder people that upset me. But only bad people. Only the bad ones. We'd be like, yeah, no way. We're not putting you around our kids. But if someone says, hey, I want to live a life that pleases God, but I'm so busy, I struggle with keeping the Sabbath day holy, I just pack my Sundays so I miss worship a lot, and I, you know, all these other things, we'd be like, you know, I think God understands you're busy. That happens. I think we treat the Sabbath differently. I mean, your job is important to God, and your kids are important to God, right? I mean, we wouldn't sit back and go, well, my job's so important, I need to do more of that than I need spending time with God. Or, hey, my kids are important, but I just need to pack their schedules too, right? I mean, your job is important to God and your kids. Your kids are really good at that sport. They should do more of that. Or you know, you really can't cut that out. My favorite one, you know, you just worship out on the golf course. Right? And here's the thing. Then we wonder why we feel far from God. We wonder why we keep repeating sins over and over again. We wonder why it feels like, man, I'm not sure God's hearing me. It just doesn't seem like I'm in sync with God right now. Why? Well, he's telling you what you need to do. And you want all kinds of things from him, but you don't want to follow his instructions. We haven't realized this is a command. It's not some optional thing. It's not an optional thing that you add on when you can't get life right and you go, well, I kind of need God's help, so maybe I better do this. No, this is like a command of God. If you want life to the full, the way God designed you to live your life, if you want life that is stress-free, if you want life where you can rest and your soul is full, you have to learn to Sabbath. But we're missing out on rest. We're people who just miss out on rest all the time. You know, our typical response today to how are you is, I'm good, but I'm busy, right? Almost everybody, yeah, everything's good, but we're busy. We almost say it with this little kind of little bit of pride in there, right? Like, I'm busy. Like, all the stuff I do is so important, right? Like, you know, like, I'm working all the time, but, you know, they can't use just 40 hours of me. You know, they got to have 70 hours of me because I'm so important, right? So according to the way that God made things, you can't be good and busy at the same time. You can't be good and just be hurried and frazzled and crazed because we wouldn't say no to things. We can't. You cannot just ignore a command of God and expect for God to bless you. In Exodus 31 and 35, God reminds us, he reminds the people in the Old Testament, he says, he tells us the penalty for breaking Sabbath. It's death. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, I did a seminar up at Man Camp about, you know, parenting and like what kids need most in their dads. And we talked a lot about how we need to disciple our kids and discipline kids, and they need to understand the natural consequences of the things that they do and things like that. And I'm thinking that this was what God, he was like, well, you were on a fast track to death anyways. I mean, but the reality is he's just God. Because we look at that and we're like, Sabbath? The penalty is death? We're like, oh, I don't know, God. That one seems a little extreme, right? It sounds extreme to you and me, but if you're God, who is saying the whole reason for you to rest was for you to worship me, give me the glory I do, to recognize everything I've done for you, and to realize that I have taken you out of slavery and all these other things, and you're just ignoring that? I have set apart a day that is holy. It's set apart. It represents my holiness, but you guys don't want anything to do with that? See, it sounds extreme to us, but from God's perspective, it's not. In the book of Numbers, it actually happens. It's crazy, right, to us. They find a guy, and he's out picking up sticks, right? He's out gathering wood so he can go make a fire. And then the people catch him, right? And there's always those people that are trying to catch people, right? And so they catch him, and they bring him to Moses. This guy, you know, he's breaking the Sabbath. You know, he was picking up sticks out there, and they're like, what do we do with him? And Moses is like, Moses is like, huh, yeah, let's ask God. And so Moses goes to God and go, hey, we got a wood-gathering guy over here. What do we do, right? He's gathering wood on the Sabbath. And God says, yeah, take him outside the city gates and stone him to death. So when God makes a command and it gets broken, it's this crazy thing called sin. And the wages of sin is, always remember as you're reading through the Old Testament, some things seem a little extreme, but here's the picture that God is trying to get across to everybody. In his big picture things is this, sin equals death. Sin always ends up in death. The craziest part to me is some of us have the audacity to try to think that you should try to correct God's actions. That you should say, come on, God, you're just a little too extreme. I kind of like an extreme God. You know why? Because he's the kind of God that would send his son to die on a cross for you and me. We don't understand all the ways of God, but we understand that he is God and we are not. And that's one of the reasons for Sabbath, is to remind us of that. In Leviticus, God adds to the Sabbath laws. I'm going to have to kind of speed up through this a little bit. He actually says, okay, so now you got a Sabbath day once a week. And he says, then every 7 years, on the seventh year, you have a sabbatical or a Sabbath year. He says, and so you don't go out and plant crops. You just let things go. And it, like, for the whole year, could you imagine if you're a farmer, which most of these people were, and God's like, yeah, this year, don't plant anything. And you don't do your normal harvest thing where you harvest it in and go and sell and trade and do all these things. He says, you just all live off the land this year. But don't worry. I'm going to make it grow so you have what you need. But it's a year of rest. What we know agriculturally now is that that's really healthy for the earth. Right? And God's taking care of things. I'm sure there were some people that tried it. We don't have stories about what happened to them. They might be interesting, but we already have a guy that got killed for gathering wood. So then he not only says, okay, every 7 years you do this, but he says, now every seven of those, so every after every 49th year, on the 50th year, we're doing this crazy thing called Jubilee. And he goes, and he says, you think a day of rest is crazy? You think a year of rest is crazy? He says, on the 50th year, here's what we're doing. Everyone who's a slave goes free. He goes, everybody who has a debt, they cancel it out. Everybody who, you know, like the land that you think you own, remember it's mine. I kind of gave it to you. So it goes back to its original owner. I mean, think about that kind of like dynamic. And I was like sitting there thinking like, what's God teaching these people? He's teaching them this. All that stuff that you were striving so hard to accumulate, all that stuff that you're trying to like, oh, I got to get more of this. God's going, no, because it's all going to go away. It's all going to go away. He goes, you need what I will provide for you. You don't just need to get everything you think you need. And so he's like, so you need to learn to rest. Because let's be honest. We strive and we push and we strain forward to all this stuff because we think we need more. We need to provide for ourselves. We need to depend on our ability to get for us. And God in Sabbath is saying, no, 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 no. Here's how this works. I'm going to teach you this method, God says, to where once a week you don't strive and work and do all this stuff and you just depend on me that what you can accomplish in these 6 days is more than enough. And if you trust me, I will make sure that everything that happens in those 6 days will make sure that that's enough so you don't have to worry about the seventh day. And every 7 years, I'm going to make sure that you have what you need. The whole act is learning to depend on God and not ourselves. And the big question is, how's that working for us? The saddest thing is that we have no evidence that the children of Israel ever experienced Jubilee. There's no record of it. Most scholars believe they never actually did it. You can imagine why, right? Because the first guy goes, woo, this year's Jubilee. I get my land back. Hey, buddy, move off. That's our land, right? Or, hey, I'm just going to cancel all these debts and do all this stuff. Like, people are like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, right? Again, God, that's crazy. It's kind of what we say, right? Like, God, that's kind of crazy. The reality is we're the ones that are crazy. Right? We live crazed lives trying to do for ourselves instead of listening to God. And we need to listen and we need to allow him to be who he wants to be, but he can't bless us if we won't do what he says. So they didn't obey God and so they didn't enjoy the rest and the blessing and they end up paying dearly for it. Okay? Because here's the thing. If they wouldn't have Jubilee and experience the celebration and the joy and just saying, yes, we're going to take away or wipe out these debts and give people back the land and everything. He goes, okay, if you won't do it, I've got these people called the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and they're just going to come take it from you. Because I guarantee you this, if you don't trust the Lord, with what he has given you, what you have, will get taken away. So why don't we just follow him? Why don't we just trust him? In the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses gives the Ten Commandments again, right, to the next generation, because the first generation didn't get it right, so God says, well, you are all going to die in the desert. Your kids, they're going to get into the land, so he has to retrain the kids, and he says, okay, here's, I'm going to give you the commandments over again. So again, he comes to the Sabbath day commandment, and then Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15, he says this. He says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In other words, by setting it apart. Okay, it's different than other days, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days shall you labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Who's it for? Yeah, well, it benefits us, but it's to God, right? It's about him and who he is. On it you shall not do any work, neither you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or your animals or any foreigner that resides in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Now listen to this. This is the part he adds that's different from the Exodus part. Then he adds this. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He's doing this because some of these people might not have walked through the Red Sea. Some of them did, but some of them didn't. So he's reminding him, right? And then he says, therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So in God's command, why did he tell them to observe the Sabbath day? To remember God and what he did for them. To remember that you were slaves and God freed you. The idea of Sabbath was to stop, to reflect, and say, hey, God took care of us back there. When we were slaves, man, God took care of us. He tells them, you know, one of the reasons to keep Sabbath is to remember that God freed them from their slavery. Sabbath was a time to stop. Remember that everything that God had done for them, and especially that he'd freed them. You know, remember last week we talked about how God not only had to get his people out of Egypt, but he needed to get the Egypt out of his people? You see, here's the thing. As a slave in Egypt, your only value is what you do. As a slave in Egypt, the only value you have is that you make bricks for Pharaoh so he can build monuments to himself. Right? So the only worth you have is in what you do. Does that sound familiar? And God says, I'm going to teach you a different way, a better way. That it's not about what you do, it's about who you are that establishes your worth. Because you're my people and I'm here to take care of you. And if you do what I say, I will take care of you and you'll experience rest for your soul. And it won't be about what you can do or what you produce. It will be about who you are as my children. And man, don't we struggle with the same thing? We somehow believe that our self-worth is established by our net worth, what we can produce, and we depend on ourselves rather than on God. See, folks, it's much more than just about physical rest. It's about rest for our soul, knowing that God can deliver us, that he will be the provider, the redeemer, the deliverer. But they didn't get to experience this. They didn't get to experience the joy and the celebration of what Sabbath is all about. Why? Because they disobeyed. They did not trust God. But this whole idea of Sabbath was always pointing towards Jesus, because Jesus is our rest. For sake of time, you can go home and read Mark chapter 2, verse 20, Mark chapter 2 and chapter 3, really. It's great stories, because Jesus is going to heal somebody. Him and his disciples are walking through a place and they pick some ears of corn and they're eating them. And so the Pharisees, AKA the Torah police, they come. And they've got their Ten Commandments open. And they're like, you're not doing it right. And so Jesus has these profound words. He says to them, he says, the Sabbath was not made for man. Okay. The Sabbath was made for man, not the man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's basically saying, hey, who's in charge here? Here's what was crazy. The Pharisees, these people, because they had always experienced the wrath of God because they keep disobeying, they would make all these rules. And just around the Sabbath, they had 39 different categories of stuff you could not do on the Sabbath day. Right? I'm pretty sure the first one they wrote down in this thing called the Mishnah was don't pick up sticks. Whatever you do, don't. Your dog comes, and he's like, oh, throw the stick. You're like, ah, no, it's Sabbath. Like, whoa, right? If we pick up sticks, we're in trouble. 39 different categories. Now, check this out. And it is actually number one on their list. So they have rules against carrying, burning, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, tying knots, untying things, shaping things, plowing things, planting things, reaping things, harvesting things, thrashing, right? The wheat, winnowing, which is cutting the stuff down, selecting things, shifting or sifting things, grinding things, kneading things, combing things, spinning things, dyeing, like dye the wool, right? Stitching, like you can't sew anything. So if your button falls off on Sunday, sorry, right? That's why I always check them before I leave the house. Okay, no weaving, no unraveling, no building, no demolishing, no trapping, no shearing, no slaughtering, no skinning, no tanning. And that's not tanning like out suntan, that's like, like the leather thing. No smoothing things, no marking on things. I'm just like, they got, crazy. This guy's got crazy, right? But what's totally interesting is most of Jesus' miracles, especially his healing miracles, most of them happen on the Sabbath, and I love it, right? I love this about Jesus. He goes into the synagogue, and it says they're watching to see what he's going to do. And there's a guy in there, he's got this withered hand, and Jesus goes, hey, stick out your hand. And I'm sure he's looking at the Pharisees going like, oh, this one's going to totally like set those guys off, right? And he just basically says, boom, you're healed. And boom, he's healed. And the Pharisees, they're just like, they're out of their minds, right? And Jesus looks at them and he just says, man, you guys just don't get it. And what he's trying to tell them is hey, the whole idea of Sabbath was to be life-giving. The whole idea of Sabbath was to remember that we are free from all of the things that take us captive. The whole idea of Sabbath was to stop and to think, wow, we could be over there making bricks, but God freed us. And now he's taking care of us. And he's giving us everything that we have. Why would we not stop and take time to worship that God? Why would we fill our time up with anything else than worshiping a God that takes care of everything on our behalf? Why would we fill our lives with all these other things and not take time to celebrate what we have in Jesus? See, I think what happened is that the Pharisees, they took this whole idea of Sabbath that was supposed to give them rest, and they turned it into work, a works righteousness that would help them find favor with God, right? If you just follow the rules. But instead, what they needed to do is just rest and trust in God. And so the reality is that the Sabbath was meant to be life-giving, liberating, freeing us from the pain and enslavement of life, and something that would refresh our souls. It was a time to let our soul catch up with our bodies. I love that. Sabbath is about ceasing the striving and finding our worth, not in what we do, but on whose we are. Sabbath is about stopping and remembering that we have been set free. And we can trust God, rest assured that he is the provider and he always will be. So can I ask you something this morning? What do you need to stop doing in order to truly trust Jesus? and experience his rest. The question this morning really is, do you trust Jesus enough to obey him? If you want to experience his best for you, his rest, you must trust him and learn to stop and just be with Jesus. You know, for on Sabbath, you know, Sundays are kind of work day for me, right? The Bible even says, yeah, the priests, they break the Sabbath because they're doing their, I'm like, yeah. So for 20 years now, Monday is my day off. If you call me on Monday, there's a good chance I won't pick up, right? My mom and Brenda and my daughters get through. I love you all, but sorry, on a Monday. Yeah. If it's really bad, they call Brenda, and then she goes, you might want to look at your phone, right? It's taken years. Honestly, it's taken years, and it's kind of like, I'm sure God all the time is going, oh, Ken, come on. What I heard this years ago, and something that I've started to do, and I just want to offer this up to you, maybe it's something that would work for you, is I think all of us need to create a to-don't list. You all have pretty thick to-do lists, but I think all of us need a to-don't list. So, like, on Mondays, I don't go to the office. Every once in a while. Sometimes I've even sent Brenda, because I'll get stuck. Right? On Mondays, I don't answer the phone. I don't usually do email. Sometimes I'll peek at it at the evening, kind of just getting ready for the next day. On Mondays, I take long and much slower walks. And on Mondays, I try not to do any of my normal work. Now, some of you will drive by my house and you'll go, yeah, but I saw you mowing your lawn. So remember the whole thing? Like, because mowing the lawn for me is like therapy. It's like this crazy life-giving thing. Put in headphones, listening to just praise music. And I don't know why, it's just something that's so therapeutic that one time Brenda said, let's get somebody else to mow the lawn so you can really rest. And I said, well, if you pay someone else to mow the lawn, you have to pay for therapy. Like for me. So she's like, well, get out there and mow the lawn. But it's just like, it's a different pace. And I've worked hard to just spend the day reflecting on who God is, what he has done, what he's doing, and just trusting. You know, and Mondays were hard for a long time because things would happen on Sunday and I'd be talking to people and I'd carry all this stuff. And on Mondays, I just felt like, oh, I had all this. Like sometimes it was just weight and sometimes it was worry. And sometimes it's like, well, that sermon didn't go the way I wanted it to and everything else. But I've learned over the years to just say, hey, you know what? There's not a whole lot I can do about that anyway. So I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to trust him. And I just encourage you to create a very small, okay, just start out by picking one thing that you cannot do to free up time to focus on him. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it says this, thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. He goes on in verse 22, he says, but now that you have been set free from sin and you have become slaves to God, right? He freed us from slavery so that we can just be his slaves. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. I think what Hebrews is telling us is this. God has so much good for you and he has rest for your soul, but we will miss it if we don't obey him. My encouragement to you is find a way to experience Sabbath. Take time off, right? If we keep relying on ourselves, our own strength, our own ability, we won't get where we want to end up. We have to trust him. And we need to stop the spinning and trust our God. Jesus says this in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you have your communion elements, we skipped that on purpose today. Because Sabbath is really about recognizing that we have been set free. And that verse in Romans tells us that we have been set free from sin. And the way that that happened was our Heavenly Father sent his son Jesus to pay the price on our behalf. That, my friends, is radical. That, my friends, is extreme. That God would send Jesus to die for you and me. And so what I'd like for you to do right now is you've got the elements. And I want you to just take a moment and rest. Rest thinking about what God has done for you, how much he loves you, and all that he has for you. And as you do that, when you're ready, take the bread that represents his broken body, and take the cup that represents his shed blood, and remember that because of this, you are no longer a slave to sin. That you are no longer owned by anything in this world. That your value is not in what you do. Your value is in whose you are, and you are a child of God because of what he did on the cross. So sit back. Enjoy it. Rest in it. Meet him there and let him know that you're thankful. So let me pray for us, and then you can sit for a minute. We're going to sing. And just celebrate as we think of who God is. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, Father, that you gave your Son to free us from our sins. Thank you, Father, that you want rest and good for us. Father, help us to be obedient and to experience life to the full, the way that you've designed it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the NPFCC Messages podcast. If this message blessed you in any way and you'd like to learn more about our church, you can visit us online at npfcc.org. Again, that's npfcc.org. To support the ongoing work of our ministry, you can make a donation at npfcc.org/give. But be blessed. And may the Spirit empower you to actualize this message today.